It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast.
Hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. It's time now for our 10 Tuesday observations. This first weekend of the college football season was filled with blowout wins by many of the favorites, while their victims hired a Brinks truck to be able to haul home their very large paychecks. So time now to cover some of the good, the bad, and the ugly things from this Labor Day's opening weekend of college football. Number one, SEC blowouts galore. In the Southeastern Conference, four different games played on Saturday this week had the winning team with a 60-point or greater margin of victory. Preseason number 5 Alabama, number 6 Ole Miss, number 15 Tennessee, and unranked Auburn all posted victories by 60 or more points on Saturday to set an all-time one-day SEC record. Now, what does that tell you about any of those teams? Not very much. But it does mean that they are desperately wanting to impress the football poll voters in order to help enhance their rankings heading into week number 2. Well, everyone was a blowout except at Florida. The consensus was that the Florida Gators had the toughest schedule in the 134-team FBS Upper Division in 2024, and their home opener against in-state rival and number 18-rated Miami certainly qualified as a very tough start. And the Hurricanes blasted the Gators in Gainesville by a final score of 41-17 in a game that really wasn't as close as the final score indicated, said Florida head coach Billy Napier. "It's embarrassing, to be quite honest with you. That's how I feel. That's how our kids feel. We've got a decision to make. No more excuses. Keep our mouths shut, show up, and work. We have to do better." It's going to take a miraculous improvement by the Gators in the weeks to come for Coach Napier, now in his third season in Gainesville, to remain in charge of the team next year. Story number 3, number 13, LSU, was not the Tigers' lucky number in Las Vegas. The Vegas Sunday night matchup between number 13-rated LSU and number 23 USC was expected to be a tight game with a very high-scoring total. The Vegas betting line expected at least 65 points to be scored by these two teams together. That never materialized. USC's 27-20 win over LSU came on a surprising 13-yard touchdown run. There's that unlucky number 13 again. The USC runner plowed over the right side of the Tigers' defense with just 8 seconds left in the game to provide the winning points. The defenses for both of these teams performed better than they did last year, but that's like going from a D to a C. The LSU offense failed to score any points on their opening drive of 8 minutes in the first quarter, and after that, the Tigers never seemed to regain control of the game. The LSU Tigers also committed some self-inflicted wounds with unnecessary personal fouls, which immediately hurt the team after they were committed. The post-game remarks of head coach Brian Kelly revealed his disappointment. He said, "The thing that is most concerning to me are the personal fouls. They're undisciplined penalties, and that falls back on me. We take pride in running a disciplined program, but we have clearly not done a good enough job of that because it impacted the game." USC moved to 1-0 entering their first season in the Big Ten Conference, and LSU's chances of finishing 10-2 and earning a playoff spot just took a big hit with their season-opening loss. Our fourth discussion, introducing the two-minute warning, timeout, in college football. Did you happen to notice the new two-minute warnings given during the second and fourth quarters of this weekend's college football games? A 60-minute college football game, due to the excessive number of commercial breaks and a lengthy halftime commercial barrage, has grown to about 3.5 hours prior to last year's fall football season. But some minor changes last season did help to shorten the college football games by nearly 10 minutes last year. That's great. Well, until this year. And the NCAA is calling their new stoppage of play a 2-minute timeout. Or whatever they want to call it, the real reason they're adding a couple of minutes of commercial time per half is for the television networks to recoup the cost of overpaying for those rights to college football games. Now let's check the NCAA's rulebook, Section 3, Article 5, in case you're following. The media broadcast partner will hold back at least one media timeout to coincide with this 2-minute timeout. But if there is no media timeout partner in the game, the timeout shall be just 1 minute plus the 5-second referee notification and the 25-second play clock interval. Right. So let's do our part too at home. Whenever you and I see a 2-minute timeout called, let's leave the television set and make that final kitchen or bathroom visit. Ignore those extra commercials. Our next item, Michigan looks very beatable in 2024. Coach Jim Harbaugh, he's gone. So is quarterback J.J. McCarthy after he became a first-round draft choice by the Minnesota Vikings of the NFL. And after going unbeaten in 2023 and taking home the national title, the Michigan Wolverines may have some trouble duplicating last season's success. Michigan's 31-10 opening win at home over Fresno State was a bit deceiving. Fresno, you see, trailed by just 14 points midway through the fourth quarter, and the Bulldogs were driving to tighten the game before their quarterback threw an 86-yard pick-six interception. And with that late defensive touchdown scored by the Wolverines, Michigan secured their final 21-point margin. The Wolverines produced less than 300 yards in total offense in a game where the team was heavily favored. Now, the high-scoring Texas Longhorns are coming to Michigan this coming Saturday. That game will be at 11 a.m. Central on Fox, and we're going to learn quickly whether the Wolverines are ready to defend their national championship. Bulletin, bulletin, bulletin! The Iowa Hawkeyes scored some points! Sure, the Hawkeyes were hosting a smaller division opponent, Illinois State, in their home opener Saturday. But regardless of the opponent, Iowa's offensive problems for the past several years have been well documented. But if only for this last week, the Iowa Hawkeyes rolled up 500 yards in total offense and scored, are you ready, 40 points over the Redbirds from Illinois State. The Hawkeyes of Iowa, though, will now host arch-rival Iowa State this coming Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central on CBS. The early prognosticators say that the total number of points to be scored in this week's game is going to be just 35.5 between the two teams. I still wouldn't touch that line with a 10-foot corn stalk. Next up, is Nebraska for real? The Cornhuskers are trying to post a winning record for the first time since 2016. After they signed highly recruited quarterback Dylan Raiola, the Huskers efficiently scored points and did not turn the ball over in a 40-7 cakewalk over the University of Texas El Paso this weekend. It was Nebraska's first opening season win in 5 years. Take note, LSU. The high-scoring Colorado Buffaloes will now stampede into Lincoln this Saturday for a nationally televised game at 6:30 p.m. on NBC. For Nebraska to post a winning record in 2024, the Huskers must take advantage of this early portion of their schedule. The final 5 games are at Ohio State, home for UCLA, at USC, home for Wisconsin, and then at Iowa. Time to win and win early if you're Nebraska. Here's a question. Is Florida State really that bad? After losing its season opening game against Georgia Tech in Dublin, Ireland a week ago, the preseason number 10 Seminoles returned home for a Labor Day encounter with Boston College. Now BC, who is now coached by former Houston Texans head coach Bill O'Brien, has not posted a winning record in the Atlantic Coast Conference since the year 2009. But on Monday night, Boston College literally ran over Florida State in Tallahassee to easily win this game 28-13. The Eagles rushed for 263 yards, while Florida State's moribund offense tallied just 21 yards on 16 offensive carries. Florida State coach Mike Norvell might want to go out and ask for some NIL refunds from his newly acquired quarterback with the name of DJ, along with most of his defensive unit. The Seminoles coach is a proven winner, but the effort and talent level at FSU this year is lagging. This team is a big mess. And speaking of a big mess, is Clemson's coach Yabo Dabo done?
Not so fast!
Dabo Swinney has led Clemson to the national championships back in 2016 and 2018. His teams then finished second on two other occasions in 2015 and in 2019 to the LSU Tigers. After losing 4 games in 2023, the impatient Clemson fans want to see their version of the Tigers playing at a national championship level once again. In a difficult season opener against top-rated Georgia, Clemson's offense put up only 200 total yards in a 34-3 loss. The orange-clad Clemson fans are unhappy that their successful coach has refused to play in the NIL transfer pool casino game this season. Dabo Swinney prefers to find and develop his own talent. The Clemson Tigers' ACC schedule, though, does not appear to be overly daunting this season. The highest-ranked remaining opponents will be NC State and Louisville, and both of them must travel to Clemson to play this year. All is not lost yet, Clemson fans. And finally, UL Monroe's quarterback has a very memorable name. The new quarterback for the ULM Warhawks is General Booty. That's correct. Actually, his full name is General Axel Booty. When he appeared at the University of Oklahoma a few years ago, he told reporters, quote, "Obviously, my name's an attention grabber, and people like to do headlines with it, but I like to show people with my play that I can back it up, too. I've done that, and I'm going to continue doing that as well and give them a reason to remember my name." Well, he also confided that his father, by the name of Abram Booty, you might remember, a former high school standout player at Shreveport's Evangel Christian Academy, has long been fascinated with the military, and that's why he gave his son the name of General. In addition, General Booty is the nephew of former LSU quarterback Josh Booty and USC quarterback John David Booty. The transferring general from OU just led ULM to a season-opening 30-14 win over FCS opponent Jackson State last Thursday night in Monroe. More importantly for ULM, General Booty had a five-star night operating as the team's field general, completing 10 of 14 passes for one touchdown. More importantly, he did not throw an interception or fumble the football, which was a recurring problem for the Warhawks quarterbacks over the last few years. ULM is now going to host UAB in a battle of these three-letter universities this coming Saturday night, 6 p.m. in Malone Stadium in Monroe. And that's it for week number one. I'm Swamp Swami.